And anybody who has seen scenes from California, Los Angeles County, five out-of-control wildfires has seen what they're describing there as apocalyptic. Larry Richard with anchorman Paul Rasmussen, and a lot of connections from here in the Los Angeles area, including my own brother, Dave, who lives in the hills, and the fires are around him. He hasn't had to evacuate yet, but he knows plenty of people who have. Nearly 130,000 people have had to move from wherever they live. In over 2,000 structures, we expect that number to go much higher. Now, the winds have died down at one point, reaching 100 miles an hour, which made these fires impossible to fight.
I can't imagine that.
No.
I've never experienced anything like it, and I've been in tropical storms and hurricanes that have made landfall. It's been 80, 90 mile an hour gusts, nothing like that. Only briefly. This has been going on for days.
And we've often heard about wildfires, and they are part of the natural, you know, in many places. We don't experience anything like this here in this region. But this, again, they have said is unlike anything they've ever seen in Los Angeles County. So we'll continue to follow that story. And I know we've had local connections.
Yes, we're going to hear again from Fox Chapel native who's been living in Southern California for the last 20 years. He talked with Colin Dunlap yesterday afternoon, and we're going to replay some of the clips from that interview. The one we had at 5:30 is a grabber, him describing people abandoning their cars and taking what they could on foot.
And seeing these construction bulldozers moving cars that were blocking fire truck traffic, and they're trying to get to these fires, and they couldn't because it was total gridlock in some spots. So we'll continue to bring you the latest in that story. Today is a national day of mourning as we recognize the 39th President of the United States, Jimmy Carter, who passed at the age of 100 over the holiday week.
And the service at the National Cathedral will start this morning at 10 Eastern time. And Michael Toscano with CBS has a rundown on the rest of the events of the day.
At 12:15 p.m. Eastern Time, a flight being called Special Air Mission 39 after the 39th President leaves Joint Base Andrews outside Washington on its way to Lawson Army Airfield in Fort Moore, Georgia. From there, a motorcade departs for Carter's hometown Maranatha Baptist Church in Plains. Following the service there, the casket and family members will travel by motorcade through downtown Plains on the way to the Carter home for burial. The Navy will conduct a missing man formation flyover to honor Carter's naval service and his time as commander-in-chief. Michael Toscano, CBS News.
And for those that don't know, Jimmy Carter served in the United States Navy and was attached to a submarine group and was an engineer. Not bad for a peanut farmer in Georgia who ended up being president of the United States, but a life well lived well after his service in the White House.
Really remarkable life, and I need to get busy on a biography of Carter. I need to find a good one and start reading. The more I found out these last couple of weeks, the more intrigued I've become.
All right, tonight, college football, the Final Four tonight and tomorrow. It's Penn State and Notre Dame tonight, and Ohio State and Texas tomorrow in the Cotton Bowl.
James Franklin says he expects a pretty even match with the Fighting Irish.
I think in a lot of ways they're built similar to us. You look at their turnover ratio numbers. You look at their explosive play defense in terms of defending and limiting explosive plays.
So for Nittany Lion fans, they're hoping a national championship.
They're one win away for playing for that championship. And we'll know by Monday morning if they're going to go or not.
And you know what I thought about? Former Steelers who love to jab each other, you know, when their respective college football teams play against each other. And I remember a situation where you had who would be top of mind, one of the all-time greatest Penn State Nittany Lion football players.
Well, Franco Harris.
Correct. So the late Franco, and of course, then you have, now if I say, which Steeler legend would be top of mind from Notre Dame?
Ooh, wow, that's a good one.
The Fighting Irish of Notre Dame, former team captain Rocky Blyer.
Oh, there we go. I should have known that.
So the Rock and Franco, two of the finest gentlemen I have ever met in my life. A friendly jab, though, because they were true to their, you know, alma maters.
Hey, Rocky, if you're listening, I'm sorry I didn't pull that out of the memory bank.
Now, I would say people forget about Rocky as he was the captain of the Fighting Irish. And we have a lot of Notre Dame fans. We have a lot of Penn State fans in the region. And Ohio State fans, too. Not so much for Texas. So it could be, obviously, the winner tonight will play either Ohio State or Texas for the national championship game. So it'll be interesting,
I guess the best matchup we could hope for in terms of drama and all of that would be Ohio State-Penn State.
Right. That'd be
the one.
The Big Ten is hoping for that, too, because that puts them on the map. The old SEC running the show for college football's national championships is over.
Not so much, right?
No, yeah. You know, Georgia and, of course, Alabama. All right, Rock. All right, Penn State fans, this is your night, and good luck to the teams. And that said, we got a little game on Saturday night. You know, we should be fired up for this. It's playoffs, and I understand when you lose four straight, there's a lot of acrimony, but it is the playoffs, and the goal is to get there. Now you got to win a game, and they're 10-point underdogs to the Ravens on the road Saturday night.
I hate to rain on your parade of optimism, but I read an article this morning about some adjustments that the Ravens made midway through the season in their defense, and since those changes were made around week 11, they've led the league in all the important defensive categories. They're the number one defense over the last 2 months. So getting their number, finding a way to score against that defense is the number one job now, as far as I'm concerned, and I don't know that they can do that.
Well, Mike Tomlin was asked about having an experienced quarterback, Super Bowl quality quarterback.
That helps.
And here's what he had to say about Russell Wilson.
How much has Russ has been there, done that, intangibles coming to play this week when you're on the road in Baltimore in a playoff game?
I certainly believe that it will, but it's not something that I hang my hat on or expect him to. It's just a component of his story, just like it's a component of Cam Hayward's story or anybody else that's been doing it at a high level for a long time.
I thought that was, a fair and accurate assessment. Yeah, we have that level of veteran talent. Now, you got to utilize it. So we'll see.
And they say on any given Sunday, let's call it any given Saturday night, and as you pointed out multiple times this week, they have a better record against the Ravens than you would ever expect.
They have a better record against the Ravens in the last 10 games than any other team the Ravens have played. We are a nemesis.
How about kryptonite?
Hopefully.
We'll see. Yeah.
Saturday night at 8. Wild card weekend. Our producer Aaron is already going out for shopping for chips and dip. What do you serve, or do you demand to be served during football, Aaron?
I would say buffalo chicken dip.
Yeah, that's a good go-to.
Yeah, it's like classic. We also like spinach and artichoke dip, and sometimes little sliders, stuff like that. All easy right. bites.
Get some pierogies. Some kielbasa. Download the free Odyssey app, AUDACY. Take us with you wherever you go. We're streaming live around the world on KDKRadio.com and peer in. You can see with our video stream presented by Metropolitan Window Company.
Larry, I just got word from Ellen Gamble that we've got a problem on the Parkway West. We'll be getting an update from her in less than 3 minutes.
Oh, man. We've had what's happened, I've seen, over the last few days where you get areas that just get a thin coat of ice, but that's all it takes. And that happened on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and sounds like some of that is an issue, too.
Well, it's 19 degrees, the air temperature. The real feel is that right? 6, my goodness. Yeah. We've got northwest winds at 13, so that's going to freeze pretty much anything quickly that's not well-treated.
Well, when I was outside with my new friend at the auto parts store putting in the battery, it was pretty cold. You know, it didn't take long. And then with the wind, I was trying to get gas, and it was just bone-chilling. So single digits, that's what it feels like today.
I had to stop and get a ice scraper for the rental car that I've been driving. There was no ice scraper with it, and it was covered with snow. And I stopped at the auto parts store at the bottom of the hill over here. And when I came out with the scraper and did my thing to clear the car, I was the same exact experience you're talking about. I was just frozen stiff.
And it cuts through you.
I mean, my hands were just...
And one of the things I thought about, now this is a simple battery. It wasn't a really challenging job, right, to put a new battery in outdoors.
Well, in this weather?
Yeah, but, and I thought to the guy I was working with, I said, hey, Jim, he had a name tag. I said, hey, Jim, you think about the people that work outside every day in weather like this? He goes, yeah. I go, I don't know how you do it. So salute to anybody that works outside.
Well, to that point, I'm at the gas station topping off the tank of the rental car because I'm returning that, and I'm at the gas pump freezing, don't have my gloves on because I have to, you know, work the pump and all that stuff. This guy who drives a plow gets on, and he's got like basically...
shorts on.
He basically had a light jacket on.
I know.
And he was outside doing his thing with the truck and everything. It didn't look like he bothered him one bit. I'm thinking, I can't wait to get back in this car.
Well, salute to anybody that works outdoors. Today is the National Day of Mourning, and I mentioned earlier there are some closures today. It's not mandatory for banks, by the way. So I said some banks will be closed, but U.S. Postal Services, Post Office are closed today. And will not be delivering throughout the day. So just so people know, there are some other related things. And if you're wondering why, it's because it's a National Day of Mourning. Just to give you a heads up, headed out the door. Speaking of heading out the door in an issue, 10 to 2, Marty Griffin, Get Marty, then Colin Dunlap on your way home, 2 to 6. This is the Big K Morning Show. I'm Larry Richard, and... we congratulate and welcome Pennsylvania State Senator Jay Costa, sworn back in yesterday officially in Harrisburg. Senator, good morning.
Good morning, Larry. Glad to be with you, and Happy New Year to everyone.
Well, you've got your experience. You're one of the lead people in Harrisburg, and all of us are kind of waiting to see what happens. We have a new Republican administration coming back in at the White House, as you're aware. And wondering how all this affects us here in Allegheny County in southwestern Pennsylvania. So what's the game plan?
Larry, I think a lot of us are still wondering, quite frankly, what exactly will happen after January 20th. I know there's been a lot of discussion about President-elect putting into place a number of executive orders that could impact people, Pennsylvanians, that could impact our government. There's also the trifecta with respect to the Congress and the president, that being able to advance legislative initiatives that he's talked quite a bit about. So there is some uncertainty, but there's some areas that we have a lot of concern about. Certainly there's been a lot of conversation about the Affordable Care Act and trying to repeal the Affordable Care Act. As you remember, you know, a number of years ago, they came within one vote of trying to repeal that. If in fact that happens, that has a major impact on healthcare delivery in Pennsylvania, but also has a major impact on the constituents who reside here who are impacted by that. And some of the policies are associated with it. For example, the, you know, keeping your kids on the insurance policy until they're 26, but looking at things like, you know, not having caps on pre-existing conditions, not having caps on other types of programming. That's just one example of things we're concerned about. Certainly the president has been pretty clear about the role he wants to play in terms of border control or immigration and possibly deportation, that'll certainly impact Pennsylvania families as well. But as a Commonwealth, I mean, we have a number of things we're going to be looking forward to, but we'll have to react to what the president does through executive orders or through legislative activity.
Well, I know that we obviously have a lot of challenges with the divisiveness of the election, but I think a lot of people like me want to find ways to work collectively, work together, and make some bipartisan initiatives. Do you get along with State Senator Kim Ward, who's the top Republican in Pennsylvania?
We do get along very well. And I think if you look at the last 2 years, in the place where we had to divide a legislature, we came and had a lot of common ground that we were able to address a variety of different things, whether it be through the budget process, whether it be through other types of legislation, policy. We do have a strong working relationship. In fact, I would tell you this past 2 years, we have more Democratic bills come through the Senate of Pennsylvania than probably in previous decade or so. So we have a good, long, strong working relationship. And what's important going forward for Pennsylvanians is that the two of us have sort of a mutually agreeable and understandable know what our policy initiatives are going to need to be as we go forward. For example, we both talk a little bit about our energy crisis that we're starting to deal with respect to the electric generation, given that we're going to have data centers or the lack of effort that's being done on the grid. Those are the type of things we know we have to talk about. We know we have to talk about transportation and transit. The other question becomes, how do we resolve those differences? So we know what the issues are. We just got to come together and resolve them in a comprehensive way. And I think we're capable of doing that. And I think you'll see that's what's going to take place over the next 2 years.
Senator Costa, do you have any pet projects, any legislation you plan to introduce?
Well, we've got a number of things that we've introduced, that I've introduced. One relates with certainly with campaign finance reform coming off of this past year, where we spent, to me, an incredibly tremendous amount of money, and the influence of outside money and dark money in campaigns is something I'm still troubled with and will still continue to try to work along those lines. I think this legislation dealing with transportation and transit funding is something that we have to talk about. We really haven't seen the transit crisis here in southwestern Pennsylvania. It's clear in southeast PA that they've got issues, but each of these transit agencies across the country, or across the Commonwealth, are going to be experiencing, if not now, very soon, troubling things, thoughts about what they have to do, whether it be route reductions, whether it be layoffs, whether it be fare increases. That's what we're facing. The energy conversation, as I mentioned, is something that's real. We got to figure out a way. We're missing opportunities. We are driving out. We're exporting energy to other places around the country. We have to do a better job of finding ways to keep it here to be able to grow what we can do, particularly with things that I mentioned earlier, with these data centers, for example, with electric vehicles, other AI stuff that's taking place. We have to find a way to be able to accommodate the need, the demand that's coming from that, and we have to provide sufficient supply. And we have that opportunity in Pennsylvania to do it. It's the question of how we do it. We have to do it in a comprehensive way. We've got to talk about natural gas being part of that supply. We got to talk about renewables being there. We got to talk about nuclear being there. That comprehensive approach, and that's what we're going to have to resolve working together to be able to figure out what's the universe or what's the comprehensive approach to addressing this crisis. And I think that's where you'll see the bipartisanship take place.
State Senator Jay Costa, always appreciate your availability, and good luck. We're all counting on you. And as you get roll up your sleeves and get back to work.
Thanks, Larry. I appreciate it, and we will be getting the work done in a bipartisan way. Thanks.
Good to hear. All right, Jay Costa, who's always available when we reach out to ask. A lot of times tough questions, but nice to see that there's a smidgen of bipartisan work going on here.
And he was all business.
I like that.
Yep.
And Kim Ward, if he and Kim Ward can find ways, and it sounds like they have, to work together. You know, there's always going to be differences on policy here and there, but civil discussion and then working for all of us to find ways to move things forward.
Well, we have heard from both of them over the years numerous times, and anyone who has heard both of them would agree that they're going to be able to talk to each other and get together and put some bipartisan measures through the Senate.
I think that's true, and for that, we can all be grateful. It's the Big K Morning Show. You've heard about this electronics show, perhaps. A lot of news coming out of Las Vegas about all these new innovations, and a lot of it is wrapped around artificial intelligence.
The Consumer Electronics Show. They call it CES now.
CES, right. It is the biggest show, I believe, in the country. It is in January every year, right after the holidays. And Dr. Frank Vigiano, our gadget guru guy, he's been there for like 55 years. He's one of the judges. He's going to join us in our 8 o'clock hour to talk about the big takeaways. One of those was announced when NVIDIA and Aurora announced that they will be producing self-driving vehicles, trucks in particular, and that Pittsburgh is going to play a large role in that process of making these components. And they're talking about this is actually happening. Rich Fitzgerald told us yesterday they are going to test in April unmanned 18-wheelers in Texas. Is the future already here? We'll see. It's hard for me to imagine getting into a vehicle where there's no driver. Of course, some of the people I've ridden with, it feels like there's no driver.
Knowing the things that can go wrong on the road that don't involve the machinery, but rather the operators.
But they are absolutely convinced that dramatically, this over time, autonomous technology will reduce accidents, save lives.
They're visionaries. Like you, I'm having a hard time getting my head around going down the highway and passing a truck with no driver behind the wheel.
I'm not against it if it works, but...
No, exactly, but it's just going to take some getting used to.
Well, how about this? So, most of the high-tech cars and TVs have been unveiled at CES. How about this, though? Really, some cool gadgets. These are those things you used to read in airline magazines that you don't need, but you think you need when you see them. It's like, oh, that's cool. Like a robot bartender that everyone can't wait not to tip. It's called it's called Adam. Check this out. Adam has been creating a stir in Las Vegas. It's crazy robot arms that can mix up any concoction that you would think of as a bartender would. It even makes coffee, and thanks to a built-in artificial intelligence can talk to patrons and give you life advice.
You know what this is like to me? The Jetsons.
That's
right?
It's sounding very much like the future is here.
There's also, check this out, a Chinese-made flying van for when you need to take the kids to soccer practice and beat traffic.
Oh,
this van
goodness.
Flies.
Yeah.
It's like, looks like a giant drone. Can you see that? Oh, that's disaster written all over it.
One of the things that got my attention in a report that I saw this morning was microwave ovens that you place the food in and then it tells you what is there and how long it should be cooked. The artificial intelligence does.
Yeah. How about that? And they have with this robotic dog, if people don't want to, you know, pick up after a dog or take care of a dog but want some of the joys of a dog, this robot called Go-To can run, jump, climb stairs, and is $1,600. And it doesn't soil your carpets in any way.
Yes, but does it wiggle excitedly when you come home from work?
Right.
Well, that's what you really want, right?
Right.
The thing that makes pets so great for people is they love you unconditionally, as long as you feed them.
It's seeing the love in their eyes.
I see our dog is like 13, maybe pushing 14. We rescued her, so I'm not 100% sure how old she is. But the poor girl can't see out of one eye. It's got a cat, you know, but looks at you like, can you just feed
me? You hung, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just give me something.
I just want some food.
Everybody else feels the love. I get the look like, come on, man.
You know what to do.
It's us. It's, you know, you and me just. Give me some of that on your plate. Yeah.
Boy, is that hard to say no to.
Yes, it is. And yet, Dr. Mike will tell you, we're going to talk to Dr. Mike in the next half hour. Absolutely shouldn't be doing that from the table.
I know.